Well, here we are. It's episode number 200 of the podcast. Who'd have thunk it in those humble early days? But we made it to quite a milestone. Adam, how are you?
I am doing well. I was trying to think of, like, what is the 200th anniversary? And I think it's the alien symbiote anniversary. We talk about a lot about symbiotes in our house.
Does that mean I'm supposed to get you an alien symbiote? Is that what that means? The gift?
Yeah. I'm hoping that you'll bring an alien symbiote onto the show today.
Well, maybe this is the right time to start our new segment, Alien Symbiote of the Week. What is a symbiote? I don't like saying this word.
It's a made-up thing. It's like the thing that Venom. It's like the black suit that takes alien black suit that takes control of Spider-Man. Oh. Anyway, but we've got our own alien symbiote this week, don't we?
We sure do. So it's not only is it a bicentennial episode, it's also a decasode, so-called. Every 10 episodes, our biggest fan, really since the very beginning, is here with us, Ryan Sly. Hello, Ryan.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. I'm happy to be here. I do feel bad because I got you something, you both something only made of alien symbiote. I thought that's what the rule was.
Yeah. Well, that's a common mistake. What year do we start this thing? 2018? Is that what it is? When
sure.
I think back?
Yeah. I didn't know there was going to be a quiz.
No, I'm just reflecting. I'm trying to be reflective. I'm not very good at it, apparently.
Yes. Not very good 2018. At February across, 2018.
Yeah, across the years. Across time. So much has changed. So much has happened in those years. Let's run through them. February of... Let's see. Occasionally we ask each other what we've written down in our notebooks recently. Ryan, can you bless us with any scribblings you've put down of late?
Of course. Leaving HEB last night, I saw a woman wearing a hoodie and a backpack sitting precariously close to traffic on the curb. I winced as a large truck stormed past her, narrowly avoiding her legs. When I looked back after the truck had passed, I saw... she was two bags of leaves.
Did that man just wince at those bags of leaves? What was he so worried about? Was he worried that the truck might tear open the bags of leaves and the leaves would go everywhere?
Could have sworn it was a lady.
What you got, Adam?
Well, I've written down here a guy that was sitting across the aisle from me on the airplane. I'd spent, unfortunately, about 12 hours near or around him trying to get out of Tampa. We left Tampa once, we returned once, and then when we left again, he was still sitting across the aisle from me. And just as we're finally about to touch down home, the pilot has announced that we're landing. All the lights are off. Everybody's tray table is up. They told him many times to put his tray table up. He stands up on the landing plane, and he asks me, which way is the bathroom? Now, I don't know if you've been on a plane in a while, but both directions. The bathrooms are in both directions. And I said, you got to sit down, man. And he said, why? Are we landing? Uh-huh. And I said, yeah, we're landing. And this man... at least 60, says, but I gotta pee. And I said, sit down and hold it. And he did. He and his wife were bickering with each other.
His wife was there and you were still performing this duty?
Yeah. They were like out of a Harold Pinter play or something where people are just bickering, but you can't tell... whether they're like grumpy or crazy or they need like a little help or what it is. He'd said to a man who sat down next to him, he said, como esta, senor? But neither he nor the other man were Hispanic. And so the guy was confused. This guy looks at his wife and he goes, right in front of the guy he just did this to, he goes, he looked at me like I was fucking crazy. He said this on the plane. And the stranger says to him, are you? And his wife goes, kind of. but not in a way whether it was clear whether she was sincere or not. Anyway, that's what I got.
All right. I have three. They just feel like loosely associated. Tried to put on my glasses while wearing my sunglasses. As we talked on the phone, my wife wondered aloud to me where her phone was. And finally, I just sneezed off my dorky Zoom meeting headset. They just felt related. Just a mosaic of contemporary life. That's what that is. Do you have anything else, Ryan? I don't want to press you. I don't want to put your feet to the fire.
Oh, do I ever? Let's see. I'd like to do a quick short one just inspired by Adam's airplane incident. It was from that same night at the grocery store last night. Man at the register in front of me, and the checkout person says, "Do you want that sweet tea in a bag?" And he looks up at her and says, "It's unsweetened." And behind him, I said, "Woof."
Oh my god.
Everyone here hates you. Just say sure.
You're unsweetened.
Indeed. Sorry, that wasn't really my one, but I had to, inspired by people that need to learn that we're living in a society.
Yep. Joint effort. It's a team game.
What I actually have is a few scenes from the rodeo carnival, wow. The Houston Rodeo Carnival.
Regional work.
We go every year on the last day of the rodeo. We go to the carnival, and you know, as you can imagine, there's always a cast of characters.
Well, it's best when you're getting a turkey leg, it's best that it's the last turkey leg, the one that's been been warming for the full 2 week period. To let the flavor really sink in.
Really marinating in the rodeo season. So a man, after failing to win a prize at the milk jug game, where you throw a ball and try to knock the milk jugs off of the thing, just angrily as all get out, "Let's stop giving our damn money away. This is a ripoff. Let's go do some rides and stop giving our damn money away. Shit's rigged." To his children. That was his audience for that tirade. Another man, just walking from place to place, sort of following his kid, who said, "Well, maybe you could stop asking me for stuff every 30 seconds." And then finally, a man with a carnival level of tattoos all over his face and body, holding a dog. That was wearing a jean jacket, sunglasses, and a cowboy hat. The man was also pulling along a sort of toy horse on wheels, which I assumed the fancy dog would sometimes ride. That's what you see when you go to the carnival on the last day.
I appreciate the guy who's like, three large milk jugs in a pyramid. This is going to be completely on the level. Like, when I think fair and balanced, I think weird milk jugs that haven't actually been used since 1900.
First time.
Listen,
to the
he
carnival.
Was an athlete. He knows how to handle it.
Adam, you got another?
Oh.
Well, yeah, I was in Florida, so I'm rich with what you got. This one, this one goes out to Neil at the St. Pete Walgreens. He kept pushing the buy one, get one free snacks. And he said, he said that the tubs of Eclipse gum are $6, but it's not that bad with the buy one, get one free discount. And then he added, with the economy these days and the way the country's being run. Yeah, so that's... Be sure to say hi to Neil.
Jokes on Neil, though. Eclipse gum is not good. It's not good. You don't want a tub.
Well,
you don't want one tub of that. You don't want two tubs of that.
Hey, economy.
You remember when this country used to be able to make gum that you actually enjoyed?
Hey, man, remember Western Pennsylvania used to be a hotbed of gum manufacturing.
Gum these Obama. Days, I'm telling you.
And now the gum factories have fallen silent.
Ted, what do you got?
This is also grocery store adjacent. Morning trip to the grocery store to get some allergy medications to keep my sinus cavities from exploding. It's an ongoing battle. A dad and his middle school age son left the store in front of me with a couple of hot drinks to bolster them on a Friday, cracking jokes to each other, moving slow, having a good time, good stuff. On the way down the escalator, I see that dad has two mint-conditioned paper shopping bags tucked under his coffee-holding arm. I don't know what project or task you've got in mind, Dad, or why those two bags are the perfect solution to whatever you're cooking up, but I just want you to know, I see you, I see your game, I recognize your game, and I respect it.
So he's stealing laundry bags?
Grocery bags?
Right, I just said the wrong thing. But he's just stealing shopping bags. Like, if I've got to go shopping, I'm going to get some extra shopping bags out of this situation.
But
love it.
You don't do something like that if you're a dad and you don't have a mission and you don't have a very specific purpose in mind that you, sure, son, let's go get some coffees. And in your mind, you're thinking, oh, and I got a secondary mission that you're darn tootin' I'm going to knock out while we're there. Zip. I saw the game and I respected the game. You got another one, Ryan?
Well, I'd like to continue, the ongoing segment, One Bumper Sticker, if I might.
Nice. That's what everybody's here for.
Yeah. Again, only two. You can only do one bumper sticker two at a time. First one. Tiny, little smart car, the little two-seater, not, half a car, that said one bumper sticker reading Geologist Rock. And the second belonged to a crazy male driver of a late model Nissan Xterra. I don't believe it was Ted because it was red.
Got multiple bumper stickers.
And yes, that's also true. Cutting me off. He was angrily driving around me and cutting me off and honking. And he passed and got in front and whipped it to the left, but not before I could see his one bumper sticker that said "Princess on board." Wrote that one down, driving in the car.
Good, as you should.
Your bumper stickers, Ted, does one of those say, ask me about my notebook?
It should, because this is our favorite segment. It's upon us, Notebook of the Week. It's the 200th episode, though. Everything's bigger, bolder, brighter, brashier.
And briefer.
Episode. So
briefer, too. We're going to keep them brief.
So we're going to...
Bigger, bolder, briefer.
We're going to do an around the horn. We're going to whip it around the horn like the 86 Chicago Cubs after they strike out Dave Kingman or something. Each of us is going to throw a notebook out there. We've got varying levels of engagement with each notebook. In my case, I am holding it in my hand, but I haven't actually used it yet. And we'll see where it goes from there, but we're going to bounce it around. So I'll start. I'm holding in my hand a Doane Paper Grid Lines. What is it? The Idea Book. It's a large format, 8.375 inches by 10.875 inches. Notebook, spiral bound, made in the USA. Doane Paper. Have you guys ever used a Doane Paper product before?
I've definitely heard of Doane Paper, but I don't know that I've ever used one before. So you'll have to let us know how it is.
Just I really like their pads of paper, and I don't know if they're still available, but for years I would actually buy their pads of paper in bulk for an event that we did where there were designers there, and so I wanted to give them something nicer to write on than just a yellow pad or something.
For all I know, 150 episodes ago, you recommended Dome paper, and I'm bringing it around. But I used one of them for kind of a work-type notebook many years ago, and what I really enjoyed was the actual paper. It's a visceral memory of writing in pencil on a nice kind of elevated paper. And the, you know, their sort of trademark is this grid lines thing where they have these thick blue lines with three grid squares, you know, sort of tall. So you just don't see it very often. It's kind of characteristic, and they have these nice, nice heavy duty cardboard, cardstock cover things. So it's kind of a reboot for me going back to this. They got me with a Instagram post about how they were updating their supplier or their supply chain or something like that. And I thought, let me get back on the Dome paper train. So that's what I'm doing. I'm excited to use it. I probably will use it at work. It's big, kind of carry around and look impressive size. I did actually grab a couple of their field notes sized or their, you know, pocket notebook sized books too. So I'll be using those in the future. Well stocked up.
Do those have
lots of paper for me in the future?
Do those have that complicated paper as well?
They do. It's like, I think the grid is actually the same size. It's going to really reward an Adam Webb style large hand, large inky pen, like, because it's the height of each row is like bigger than normal, which is why I think the challenge or the quirkiness comes in. It's in the books too. So we'll see how that goes. I might fill up a lot of pages with very large script. All right, what do you got, Ryan, in terms of your notebook of the week?
So
notebooks of the week, plural. I,
I just recently ordered a new brand of notebook, field note size, from a place called Denik Notebooks, D-E-N-I-K, which are touted as having fountain pen friendly paper, and being quote unquote indestructible. And they do a lot of good with their profits in that they build art schools internationally in countries where, you know, that would probably typically not have the funds for art schools. So I thought that was cool. Oh. And I got three to try them out. You can choose what kind of paper you want in them as far as lined or grid or whatever. And then I got one that is basically, I think, the art of the person that makes these notebooks. It's like a character in the window of a building called Dusk. One that looks like an old VHS tape called Super Tape. Hmm. And one that's called Leap of Faith that has frogs and dragonflies and whatnot on it that I thought my daughter might enjoy. So cool designs, and they look really good. They're just the same size as field notes.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm totally unfamiliar with this offer.
I was too. Yeah. They look really cool. So I'm excited to get them. We're supposed to get here next week, and I'll let you know.
Very good. Adam, your notebooks?
Yeah, well, mine kind of similar to Ryan's, except they use the funds to build business schools in countries where there are already business schools.
No. Somebody's got to do
my,
it.
My, that's right. My notebook of the week just arrived yesterday, and it is, I will not be writing in it. It's The Notebooks of Sonny Rollins, which was just published this month, and it is 60 years of saxophonist? I can't say it. Jazz musician Sonny Rollins' notebooks that he kept. It's from 1959 to 2010. There are drawings in there. There are little, little notes, I think, like the types that we would keep. And then there's some, you know, music stuff. There's some notation. and I'm really looking forward to digging into it and reading it. It's published by the New York Review of Books, and I bought two copies because I thought it was one of my friend's birthdays. His birthday's not for a month, so I got two copies of a book that came out. Haven't read either one yet. Yeah,
that's awesome.
Yeah, The Notebooks of Sonny Rollins.
If, oh, very cool. If there are any drawings in there that you feel like you can improve upon, you're not gonna scribble something on top of them, or?
Well, maybe I will. Maybe I will. Maybe I'll turn this drawing of the neck of a saxophone. It almost looks like a bird. Maybe I'll turn it into a bird. How weird would that be if someone found this mm-hmm. book, and all I did yep. was draw in it, like and
well,
try
they
to
were
improve
like,
his
what?
Drawings.
They were like, why did Sonny Rollins draw so many terrible pictures of birds?
For this special episode, our 200th episode, our alien symbiote episode, we thought maybe we'd talk just a little bit about what we've learned about keeping a notebook. I had this idea that maybe we would expand it into our, in addition to rules or whatever for a notebook, also just rules for stationery in general, and then any maybe kind of rules for life, which is a big ask in hindsight. But I started, and I'm gonna start by, I tried to write a notebook manifesto. I tried to kind of sum up my very mixed feelings about everything a notebook can be. Or how a notebook can be mixed things, maybe. So here's my notebook manifesto. Keeping a notebook is a tool for paying attention. Paying attention is how we show love. Keeping a notebook is a tool for love. Writing about a foolish act in your notebook separates the fool from the action by putting her in context. The fool acting foolish and the magazine being informative and the writer being novel are equalized in the notebook. These are all things that maybe I'd smash together in the notebook. Some quote from a magazine, some quote from an artist or something. All of this is the stuff of life, crammed next to your grocery list and the confirmation number you've written down because another person asked you if you had a pen to write down a confirmation number. Write what you feel. Also, avoid writing about your feelings. Do both. Do neither. Carry your notebook in your pocket. Carry it in your back pocket. Always carry two. The back pocket will keep your notebook dry in the rain, but your ass will sweat through it in the heat. John Dickerson calls keeping a notebook the community of humanity. A notebook can get your writing mind working, and a notebook can settle you down when your mind is racing. Anyway. That's as far as I got in my manifesto. As all good manifestos go, it petered out.
It's beautiful, man. That was really beautiful. I love all of it.
Thanks. It's just sort of done. Conflicted, you know? Like, in a,
always
it can be
carry
everything.
Two. Always carry two notebooks.
Yeah.
One notebook to protect the other notebook from your butt sweat.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Brilliant.
So, and I've got some stationary rules too, but we'll get to those. Ted, what about you? What have you learned about keeping a notebook?
I didn't write a manifesto. I jotted down a few notes. My first one was reduce worry. So one of my themes in keeping a notebook and enjoying notebooks and tools and other things is to only use things I'm willing to lose, honestly. That was the bar I set for myself because I got a nice fountain pen and lost it. But that taught me, you know, yeah, I was annoyed to lose something worth a lot of money, but I was also like, this is a game about where if you're worried about losing things, you'll leave them at home. And the point is not to leave things at home. It's to carry the pen around with you, carry it out in the world. When those two bags of leaves jump out at you and scare the crap out of you, you want to have a tool on your person to capture that emotional roller coaster that you just experienced. So reduce worry. Let's see. My next one was break the seal, which I think is something like a response to the collecting mindset. Like these are, these notebooks and stuff, they make a lot of them and they're different editions, but they're meant to be torn open. And written in and stuck on and beaten up. And, you know, like Inan Vital of Dapper Notes said, the strings are meant to start falling off in interesting ways. So break the seal. Let's see. My other one was Each Has Its Time. So, you know, you get a notebook, you get a pen, you get a, you know, I don't know, even a normal reading book. right now, that might not be the time for it, but there'll come a time. So, you know, be patient and, I don't know, use things and read things when they talk to you and they say, hey, it's my time. Let's see. Then the last one, and this was specific to me, but my policy of inconsistency. I realized at some point in our journey here that I being consistent is for me not a natural state, and so to expect it of myself is silly. Rather, embrace that I'm always going to change the way I do things. I'm never going to really settle into one system or one notebook or one pen for the rest of my life. So really make the variety and make the change and the evolution part of what I enjoy about the process. So those are the notes I jotted down in terms of what I've learned over 200 episodes of talking about this stuff. Ryan, I'm going to put you on the spot, but I mean, I just happen to know that your stationary journey, your writing instrument journey has been something to behold, and it's been fun to watch you dive headfirst into this kind of creative world of craftsmanship and whatnot. Do you have any reflections of this nature?
I do. I think actually the things that I was thinking about relate a lot to what you just said. I mean, in similar ways, but maybe not exactly the same way. So, you know, my first thought was, you know, not to worry too much. And mine was less about, you know, maybe losing the nice things that you might be worried to lose or things. But mine was more about, you know, doing things the same way or writing enough or, you know, how quickly or how slowly you're getting through a book. Just, you know, to continue to do it because you enjoy it. And when things slow down, that's okay. And when they speed up, that's great. If you have, you know, new things you want to write down, that's great. I mean, essentially, you know, don't be afraid to break your own rules, even as we're laying out our rules here. Because things change. I mean, I was carrying fountain pens for a long time after having never used one before. And, you know, recently I've been kind of breaking that trend a little bit and trying some new things. And I've been enjoying that a lot. And you know, I just have changed my practices around and go back to things when I feel like it. And so I think just, you know, not trying to be too strict about anything is a good idea. And really that, you know, just not worrying too much applies to life too, really. Yeah. If you can help it. I like to, you know, one thing I have stuck with through the 70 field notes that I've gone through has been starting each one, you know, with a quote. And that kind of relates a little bit to your kind of break the seal idea, in that I thought that even early on, wondering how to start, I thought I could solve that problem by using someone else's words to get me going. And, you know, taking someone else's advice, maybe. And so silly or thoughtful or applicable to, you know, the time or whatever it may be, I always just find something that someone else has said to get some ink on the first page. That way I don't have to worry about what to say first.
Love it.
And then lastly, you know, doing something is better than doing nothing is one of those sort of, the sort of sayings that, doesn't really mean anything, but yet it does. You know, so obvious that if on face value, but really, you know, when I say that, I mean, you know, sometimes I think, why can't I think of anything good to put in my notebook? And that's really just kind of getting in your own way. And, you know, as Tweety talks about in his songwriting books and things, is just starting to write anything or take any kind of note, just get back into the practice of whatever it is that you enjoy doing is better than trying to make it good every time. You know, because it just keeps you going and keeps you in practice. And eventually, you know, you write something, you go to the rodeo and that problem solves itself.
You go to Florida.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Or the airport or the groceries. I mean, you know, there's something everywhere if you're paying attention. But, you know, sometimes you just can't think of, you feel that stall and you just struggle with getting going. I've had that trouble with just writing in general lately, and have kind of filled that time or that itch for creativity with other things. And you know, I know I'll get back to that, but I still, it's an area where I need to take my own advice with that and just go.
Yeah, I mean, it's so much about, like, when I get, first of all, for us doing this podcast has been an amazing creative outlet, because I know that when I write something down that I'm happy with, I have another way to share it, and that it can have a life beyond just my notebook, which I think is a gift to ourselves collectively that we've given ourselves, and that other people have wanted to come along is amazing too. But it really, to me, it's a gift between the two of us and the three of us. But when I'm frustrated with myself is not when I run out of things to write down. It's when, for whatever reason, I get too lazy to write them down. And I think, oh, I should write that down, and I don't get to it. Well, then, of course, I forget it, or I forget the nuances of it. And it's not that I didn't have things to write down. It's that I didn't bother to take the one basic step that I know that I'm going to be happy that I took. It's like, get, you know, do my future self a favor when we sit down to record, have some stuff written down that I'm happy with, so that my future self will enjoy what I'm reading out loud to you guys.
You know, from that John Dickerson podcast that Adam quoted earlier, one thing on that he said that stuck with me was, you know, that parenting teaches us to expect silences, which I appreciated, because, you know, it's all a preparation for them to leave, in a way. And I have that coming up in my life when my first kid is about to go to college. And so that resonated with me a lot, but it also made me sort of think, you know, so it's important to consider what you do, you know, with the choruses and, you know, this whole practice of writing things down and, you know, paying attention while things are going on. You know, that to me has been the biggest value of getting into this for the last 5 years or so. Yeah,
same here.
Yeah, you know, that made me think of when we're writing in our notebooks. I think maybe early on, even in this show, we fixated on this idea of people with heads stuck in our notebooks, and maybe it was more like, oh, do we look like oddballs? Pulling a notebook out of our pocket and being the notebook person. I think we got past that, but then there's just this idea of, like, that I sometimes think, like, if you're writing everything down, are you, like, being a part of the world, or are you just kind of being insular? And I don't know, as time has gone on, I really feel like using a notebook to pay attention to the world really amplifies paying attention to all the world, even when you're not writing it down in your notebook, and paying attention to the people in your home with you and appreciating them and appreciating everybody around you. I don't know, I see that happening in the notebook. I do, I mean, it's the corniest thing to say, but it, you know, this show and paying attention feels like the secret of life, you know, like it's not the meaning of life, but it's like a, I don't know. We're all about life hacks on the show. And, I think it's the ultimate life hack in some sort of weird way. That's like impossible to perfect because, like, even today, even today, my wife asked me to pick up two things from the store, and with a notebook in my pocket, I'm like, "You're gonna have to tell me later because I'm never gonna remember that." So it's hilarious that I write everything down, and that was my reaction. But I do think, I don't know, it feels hugely important, and I don't think it's just because we have a podcast about it.
What that makes me think that what we're doing in our own little lives, it's not heroic or anything, but we're noticing, first of all. I think in order to write something down, you have to notice the people around you and how they're operating and what they're doing, and then you have to stop and think about why that's interesting. Then you have to kind of frame it, and to me what it feels like is sort of, you know, finding a grasshopper and holding it up to the light and really looking at how its legs are so curious and its antennae are twitching. Like noticing these moments, but then holding them up to each other and saying, "Hey, look at this. Isn't life freaking amazing? Like, isn't this interaction between these two people that just, it came and went. It was a blip on the radar screen of humanity that's just passing by us in torrents and rivers all around us, but just stop for a second and look at this." And I think the expansion of that is that we stop and talk to each other with really quite great frequency. I mean, I don't have other friends that I talk to as much as I talk to y'all. And I think it's deepened our friendship. It's expanded our understanding of each other's lives. And it's given us a lot to talk about, to say, "Hey, what do you want to talk about? What did you find interesting? What are you holding up to the light that we can all take a look at?" Well, we've done this 200 times, and I think that says a lot about what it means to us. Ryan, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you along the way. I look forward to 200 more, which for you would mean 20 more. That's just math. And Adam, it's been quite a journey, and there's no signs of stopping. So congratulations on 200 episodes. I think both of us get as much as we give, and we push each other and encourage each other to do this thing even when it's hard. And I never finish recording an episode without feeling just absolutely thrilled that we pushed through it and we did it. So great job.
To 200 more. Thank you, Ted. Thank you, Orion, for always being the best part of every 10th episode.
Thank you guys for continuing to invite me back.
The internet. You can find us on the internet at takenote.space. That is a website. You'll find lots of different stuff there. You can sign up for our newsletter. You can support us on Patreon for those who have supported us on this journey. Thank you. Really appreciate it. It's been amazing. You can find some random blog posts with weird stuff on there and other such sort of things. You can send us an email if you've got thoughts. Maybe you've got some stationary rules that you want to share at takenotecentral@gmail.com. In the meantime, take care.